For our reading this morning, let's turn to the Acts of the Apostles and read chapter number 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 8. We'll read the first 25 verses. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that being Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that for that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, whom when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of those things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. May God bless the reading of the Lord Jesus, before he ascended to his Father, to be with him who he was always with, and before that brief period that he was up here upon this earth, he shared a message with his disciples, and that message was that they should go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This was the charge that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ gave to the apostles, to the disciples, that they would go forth. They would teach those things and reiterate those things that the Lord Jesus Christ himself had taught. And now as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, that had transpired, that had happened, that they went forth and they brought forth the word and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we read that this morning in Acts chapter 8 of how that took place. But there was a setting here where there was a great persecution against those that believed in the Lord. And we read that here in verse number 1. This was the setting. In times past, since the time that Christ ascended until this time, there was great joy in among the believers. They were no longer hiding in houses for fear of the Jews, but they were now proclaiming. Peter and others were proclaiming the good news of the gospel and telling them that they need to repent. And at their ignorance, God winked at. He overlooked it. But now he's commanding all men that they would repent. And we can read in chapters 3, 4, and 5 that the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And at the preaching of Peter, there was 3,000 that came and were baptized. And the word of God grew. The word of God was magnified in this time here in Jerusalem. And it was a strong time, and many even wondered at the miracles of Peter, and they would stand in the pathway where Peter himself would pass by, and that his shadow would overcome them or pass over them, and that they would be healed. It was a beautiful time from the time of the ascension of Jesus Christ till this time when Stephen was making a declaration to the church leaders of their stiff-neckedness and their stubbornness and how they continually rejected the Lord throughout the history of Israel. And now they had crucified Jesus Christ. But now persecution, a great persecution, rose up against the church in Jerusalem. And it was a difficult time. But not so if you're looking at things eternally. If we view things with an eternal perspective, it's not a bad thing. It was a good thing because it caused the disciples and the apostles to go forth and preach the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. That they would fulfill that command of Jesus Christ, that they would go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded them. And so this great persecution caused that. It dispersed them out of Jerusalem. And so from an eternal perspective, this great persecution that came upon the church in Jerusalem at this time was a good thing. It allowed the gospel to be propagated and brought forth to regions far beyond just Jerusalem. But we read here this in this first sentence of this chapter that Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. Stephen had just made a strong proclamation to the people. They were trying to bring a false accusation against Stephen. And they set up false witnesses, and they were saying that he spoke blasphemous words against Moses. And then they brought him before a council, and the Bible says that his face shone. It was bright. And he brings forth this message, and he relays to them the history of Israel and all the things that they did. And in the end, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. And then they stoned him. The people didn't like that message that they heard from Stephen. And when Stephen was stoned, he had even the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Stephen had a heart that still trusted in the Lord. And again, he had an eternal perspective. And it wasn't simply rocks that were thrown at Stephen, but when someone was stoned, it was small boulders, so to speak, something heavy and thrown at the individual. And he was being pummeled by these stones. And the Lord magnifies himself and opens up the heavens and allows Stephen, as he's being stoned, to see the glory of God and to see Jesus standing there on the right hand of God, welcoming him. The Bible says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. But now at this moment, when Stephen is ready to be entered into the courts of glory, that Jesus is standing and he's welcoming Stephen into the heavenly realm. And so it's a beautiful thing when we look at the events of life with an eternal perspective, that we look far beyond a 100-year span or even a 6,000-year span for the history of mankind, that we look far beyond that and know that God has an eternal perspective. God has an eternal desire for mankind that they would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and that they would look beyond what this life would have to offer. And so Saul was consenting unto his death, unto Stephen's death. Saul was agreeing with those who were stoning him. Saul was saying, yes, this is good. This is good. And then he continued to persecute the church of God in Jerusalem. And then he took it all the way to Damascus, an area far beyond Judea and Samaria. But he was in ignorance. And so then in further on in chapter in verse number 1, it says, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. The apostles stayed there. And so Jesus, as recorded in Matthew's gospel, tells them to go therefore and teach all nations, not simply Judea or Samaria, but all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And now in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, it records that as Jesus was getting ready to ascend, these words are somewhat different, where Jesus says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth. He says, you will be witnesses of me. You will share the message of the miracles that were done. You will share the message of the commandments that I gave. You will share the message of the love that I have for the whole world. You will share these things. Be witnesses of them. Tell of the time that Lazarus was raised. Tell of the time when blind Bartimaeus saw. Tell of the time when that man that was born blind was healed and he worshiped the Lord, even in spite of the oppression after he received his sight. Tell of these things. Be witnesses of me throughout all nations. Speak of these things. And so they were scattered around, scattered from the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And then it says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. There was a great sorrow. This was the first martyr. This was the first one whose life was taken because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had great sorrow. They made great lamentation over him because of what had happened to him. And they were devout men, men that loved the Lord, men that yielded themselves to God and obeyed his voice, obeyed his word. And they made great lamentation over him. Why? Because they loved him. They loved him. They knew that, as it says in a previous chapter, that he was full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom. He had these gifts from the Lord, and the Lord had blessed Stephen abundantly. And so they loved him, and they kept the commandment that Jesus had given, where he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And so this is the reason that these devout men made great lamentation over Stephen, is because they had great, great love for him. They kept that commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And so we need to consider in our own minds, are we fostering that environment? Are we making an effort to create an environment where there is fervent charity one among another? This is the commandment of the Lord, and this is what he's bringing us. He brought them to, and he's bringing us to, and that we would continually grow in that. So they made great lamentation over him. But as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. This was Saul. He was zealous for the Lord in a completely errant way. Wrong. He didn't serve the Lord as he should have. In chapter 5, it says that the word was going forth, and it was going forth with great power. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The message of the Lord was going forth. And that was where the power was, in the message of the Lord. It wasn't Peter's word that Peter was bringing forth. It wasn't Philip whose word Philip was bringing forth. It was the word of the Lord. And they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In the temple, daily, and in every house. In every house. They were teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. And now we read here in chapter 8 that Saul went to every house. He went to every house where the believers were gathered, and he hailed them into prison. He hailed them and committed them into prison. This is what Saul was doing, and he was creating a great persecution. He was fueling that great persecution that was at the church in Jerusalem. And so it was here that the believers needed to make a stand. It must have been fearful to think that Saul could be coming to our house very soon. He went to the other believer's house, and now he's making his way, and he may be coming here. We need to make a stand. Each of us need to make a stand. Are we going to say to Saul, yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and then go to jail? Or are we going to deny him? They had to make a decision at this point. Were they going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or were they going to proclaim Jesus and his power? The Apostle Paul, after he had been enlightened and the Lord Jesus Christ had shown himself to him, said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. These believers in the houses in Jerusalem, they were not going to be ashamed. And if they were going to be committed to prison, so be it. The Apostle Paul also tells Timothy, saying, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. These men and women, as Saul came to their house, they would proclaim that, yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe his commandments. I believe that he died upon that cross. I believe that that tomb is empty, though those guards there are telling a different lie, being paid to tell a lie. I believe that he rose, and I believe he died for my sins, and I believe that I can have eternal life. And Saul, you should believe that too. Saul must have seen some great witnesses of Jesus Christ as he was hailing them into and committing them into prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. This was by design of God. He brought persecution to the churches in Jerusalem, and he spread them, that they could fulfill the commandment of Jesus Christ, that they would take the gospel, that they would take the word of Jesus Christ and bring it from beyond Jerusalem, beyond Judea, beyond Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. They went everywhere, preaching the word. Not their own word, preaching the word of the Lord. Who's they? If we go back to chapter 6, it speaks of seven. Seven men who were chosen. The apostle says, go find seven men among yourselves who are of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Go find seven men. And so they went and they found seven men. Stephen was one of them, and he was the first martyr. The Bible says that he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He trusted in the Lord. And he had the power of God because the Holy Spirit Ghost was in him. As Jesus said, ye shall be endued with power from on high. After that, you are endued with power from on high. You are to go. Because that power will be from the Holy Ghost. And so he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And then it also speaks of Philip. Of these seven men that were chosen, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom. Stephen was the first. Philip was another one. And then there's a list of five others as well. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. He was a proselyte of Antioch. We read here that they were scattered abroad. So these six men, Stephen has passed away. These six men, they went everywhere, and likely others as well, other disciples as well. But they were scattered abroad, these six men, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere. And they began, as Jesus instructed them, bring my word to Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then to Samaria, and then unto the othermost parts of the world. And so they were scattered, and they went to Samaria. And it says here that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So what about the other five? Stephen was martyred. Philip goes down to Samaria. But the other five are not mentioned here in the Acts of the Apostles. In fact, their names, the names of those five men are only named there in Acts chapter 6. They're not spoken of. But yet the Bible says that they went everywhere. They, as in all of them, went everywhere, as into all parts of that region. But the Acts of the Apostles doesn't record what those other five did and what happened in their circumstances as they went forth preaching the gospel to those regions round about. But this one is recorded of what Philip did. So Philip goes down to the city of Samaria and he preaches Christ unto them. He brings forth the message of Christ. And again, he's speaking to them that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Love one another. Love your enemy. Give, forgive, condemn not, judge not. He brought forth a gospel message to them. And the people with one accord, these Samaritans with one accord, gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he had done. Philip brought forth the message of Jesus Christ. And as he was doing that, even as the Lord Jesus did, he demonstrated that this is from the Lord by doing miracles. Jesus said, if you don't believe my words, then believe the miracles that I did. And likewise, now these Samaritans, as they saw the Holy Ghost's power working in Philip, to proclaim the message of the gospel to them and miracles, doing miracles as well. It says, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Philip, I hesitate to say Philip did these things because there was the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost was working in Philip, doing these miracles that the Samaritans can come to believe the gospel. to come to believe what Jesus Christ hath done, to come to believe truth. And it says, and there was great joy in that city. There was great joy. Here among the Samaritans, there was great joy. And again, in the same place where Jesus says that this is my commandment, that ye love one another, Jesus also says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we as believers, though there may be great persecution against us, that we might be able to have the fullness of the joy in the Lord. In his presence there is fullness of joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. There was weeping for a night when Stephen died. There was weeping for a night when there was great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. But then, Jesus stands and welcomes us into eternity. And there will be great joy forever and forever and forever. And so there was great joy here in Samaria, in that city, because these good things were happening. But, and so we read another verse, and here's a conjunction of but, meaning that there's going to be now a contrast to what had just transpired. There's always challenges. Satan always wants to bring a challenge. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Here's Simon the sorcerer, using trickery, magic, whatever it was, to impress the people. To impress the people. And he made himself out to be a great one. And we just see that history is replete with example after example that those who would want to make themselves to be a great one garner a following, and then things change, and that whole effort dies. And even, the man's name, but he was speaking to the Sanhedrin, to the group of leaders, and he's telling them that, you know, take heed what you intend to do with these disciples. Take heed, because, you know, there was that one person, and he did this great thing, and he garnered a great following after him, and he died, and that whole effort just dissipated. And then there was that other fellow who said, let's not pay taxes, and he garnered a great following, and then he died, and that effort came to nothing. But he says, but if this be of God, you should be careful, lest happily you be fighting against God. And then it says, and then to him they gave heed. And it was Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, that said these things. And it's so true that even here, Simon the sorcerer, he was able to have admiration of the people of the city of Samaria, but he was just a man, and he was thinking of himself as some great one. But his efforts came to naught. It came to nothing, because the power of God then made itself manifest, and his power became of nothing. And so we always need to remember that we are not here to make a name for ourselves. We are always to proclaim the name of Jesus, just as Peter did, just as John did, just as Philip here did as well. Peter healed that again, Peter didn't do it. The Holy Ghost did it. The Holy Ghost healed through Peter the man that was lame at the gate beautiful before the temple. And the people wondered, and they were rejoicing, and there was great joy, because this lame man was now walking. And Peter, and they wanted to give glory to Peter, and Peter's like, why are you looking at me as if by my own power I did this? It was through faith in Jesus Christ. And so likewise in our lives, as believers, we are always to give glory to the Lord. Whatever good of us has been done, it's just through that's just from the Lord. That's not something of ourselves that we were able to do, and now we deserve some credit or some honor. Peter and John and the other apostles and disciples, they took no credit to themselves, but they always gave glory and honor to the Lord. And so he made himself to be out some great one, and to it says they all gave heed to him in this city of Samaria, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." They didn't know the great power of God until Philip came along and demonstrated through the power of the Holy Ghost to them the great power of God. Simon had none. It says that they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Philip, through the power of the Holy Spirit, did miracles, and those that were lame or had palsies were able to be healed, but he was bringing forth the message concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And there was power in that. There was power in that. And then they come to believe, and they were baptized, both men and women. In Jerusalem, there's great persecution, but that persecution was coming their way likewise. But for now, they believed, and there was great joy, and they were baptized, both men and women. And it says, and Simon himself believed also when he was baptized, and he continued with Philip, wondering and beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, Simon the sorcerer, as he was bewitching the people of Samaria, now he came to believe and to see, I didn't have any power. This is truly the power of God. This is marvelous. This is magnanimous. This is something big. And he wondered when he beheld the miracles and signs which were done. And so the apostles heard that they were baptized there in Samaria. And so this is new ground again now. The believers were only the true Jews at this time. Samaritans were considered as half-Jews or some inbreeding there with other Gentiles. But they weren't preferred, and even many of the Jews did not appreciate the Samaritans, even walking around their land so they wouldn't have to walk through them. But Peter and John were sent to Samaria that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Again, fulfilling the commandment of Jesus Christ that all would be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Whereas, as of this time, they were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they laid their hands on him, on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Again, now Simon, perhaps still having, well, no, certainly he did. He certainly had some pride in his heart still. And when he witnessed that the Holy Ghost was given by Peter and John when they laid their hands on them, he says, give me this power also. Still lusting, still desiring to have power, still desiring to make a name for himself. Give me this power that whomsoever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter, perhaps even baffled, your money's going to perish with you. Money is going to perish, and you're going to perish with that money, because thou hast thought that the gift of God, this gift, could be purchased with money. Like it's a commodity. Like you could just simply go buy it. And Peter says, you have no part nor lot in this matter, and your heart is not right in the sight of God. You're still hanging on to pride. You still want this power. Give me this power that on whomsoever I lay hands on, they would receive the Holy Ghost. And so Peter tells him, repent, as he told so many people. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God that if perhaps the heart of thy, the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And he says, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You're still in bonds. You're still in chains of iniquity. You're still partaking of that gall of bitterness. The other place where gall is written here in the New Testament is when when Jesus was on the cross, they took vinegar and they mixed it with gall. gall being like a poison or a bile. And they wanted to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Peter is saying, you're in this poison of bitterness. You still think that by carnal measures you can do God's work. And then Simon answered and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. There was some measure of humbling his heart here. And that's beautiful to see. Simon the sorcerer didn't need to be a sorcerer anymore. He could now be a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And being on the same level with all of those from Samaria, because the level of the ground is flat at the foot of the cross. In a couple chapters later, chapter 11, verse number 19, it says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none other but the Jews only. This persecution that was happening here in Jerusalem truly was taking effect. And they were scattered abroad, and it was because of the time when Stephen was proclaiming to the Jewish people who would not believe that they were in sin and that they needed to repent. So after this transpires here in Samaria, it says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, Peter and John. They testified and preached the word of the Lord. They testified, Peter and John, saying, yeah, we were there in the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw the glory of the Lord. We were there. They were testifying of all the miracles that Jesus Christ had done, that there would be no shadow of doubt that Jesus was in fact the Christ, the Son of God, who had come to give life. They had testified of these things, and they preached the word of the Lord to them. Then they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Remember some things that happened in Samaria when Christ was here upon this earth? Remember that time that Jesus was making his way down to Jerusalem, but they had to stop somewhere for the night in Samaria? And when the Samaritans knew that Jesus wasn't intending to stay there, but that he had his sights to go to Jerusalem, that they didn't want Jesus to stay in their village, and they were asking him to move on with the disciples. And John and James and John, the two brothers, they said, Lord, shall we command that fire come down and consume them as Elijah did? And the Lord Jesus responds and says, you don't know what spirit you are of. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy lives, but to save them. And now, quite some time later, John is coming to Samaria, and he's preaching the gospel to them, that they might be saved. Now he knew what spirit he was of. And then, and it says that they went throughout all the villages of the Samaritans preaching the gospel. And so perhaps they came upon the village where that woman was at the well in Samaria. And Jesus had that dialogue with her saying, go call thy husband. And she says, I have no husband. And Jesus says, well, you said that right. You don't have a husband because you've had five. And the man that you're with now is not your husband. But she went and got the men of the city of Samaria and brought them to the well. And they heard Jesus' preaching. And they said, the men that... oh, we don't need to listen to your testimony, woman, any longer, because we've heard him for ourselves, and we do believe him. And so perhaps some of those who believed Jesus who had that interaction with him were now having this interaction with James and Peter as they were preaching the gospel to them. The Lord works in mighty ways. The ways of men will always fail. They will always fail. We've seen that over and over through history, and the ways of men always fail. someone wants to rise up, be someone, make a name for themselves, and to get to garner a little bit of following, but then it always comes to naught. But not the ways of the Lord. Not the ways of the Lord. If we take the name of Jesus with us, we will go forth in power and in truth. And it's because it's his power, not in of our own. Great things happened when the Lord does his work through the power of the Holy Ghost. Bad things happen when men do their work. Simon the sorcerer, when he did his work, he bewitched the people and he kept them in this darkness. That's what happened when the works of men. That's what happens with the works of men. They remain in darkness. But when the power of the gospel goes forth and the message of Jesus Christ is shared, the results belong to the Lord, but those that believe receive joy in their heart and a peace in their hearts. And they have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they can be with the Lord forever. And so Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the gospel to them. And even the Simon the sorcerer believed and was baptized. Not because of Philip, but because the word of the Lord was preached. The word of the Lord was preached. And there was great power in that. There wasn't great power in Simon's sorcery. That ended. But there's great power in the message of the gospel, in the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter, James, Philip, Stephen, they all proclaimed the gospel. And there was great results of it. Simon, who was a sorcerer, changed from that darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Saul, as he was persecuting the church and was hailing men and women into prison and going up to Damascus, and Ananias knowing what he was coming to do, Saul was changed because of the light of Jesus Christ as he made his way on that road to Damascus. The power of the gospel shone through, and Simon was changed, and Saul was changed, and Saul became the Apostle Paul. And we read much later in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 21 that after the Apostle Paul had spoken with the elders in Ephesus, that he was making his way down to Jerusalem, and it was not going to be good. And as he was making his way to Jerusalem, he stopped in Caesarea. Well, there was a man that was living there. His name was Philip the Evangelist. He was one of those seven men that were chosen, that were full of faith and believed. And so here it was. Because of Philip yielding himself to the power of the Holy Ghost and proclaiming the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ, Simon was changed from darkness unto light. Saul was changed from darkness into light. And Philip, the evangelist, living there in Caesarea, hosted the Apostle Paul, knowing that at one time, Philip had to leave Jerusalem because of this man's actions. But now as the Apostle Paul's traveling through from Ephesus down to Jerusalem, he stops in Caesarea, stops at Philip's house. Philip had four daughters who were prophetesses, and they were encouraging the Apostle Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Bad things were going to happen. And he says, "What mean ye for this weeping? I'm going down, and whatever happens, happens." And so when we yield ourselves to the Lord, great things happen. Great things happen. They took the word of the Lord. They took the word of the Lord and they propagated it to all places. The Lord is asking us to take the word of the Lord and to propagate it to all places, to our workplaces. Show forth a good example. To the schools that we go to, show forth a good example. To the grocery stores that we go to the other places in this world that we go to. When we're on vacation, propagate the gospel. We live in underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. There is great power in that. Not in the work of man's hands, not in man's wisdom. There is great power. There is great power when we yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord can do great things, and we are to keep that eternal perspective. There's a song that we've sung since our Sunday school days that captures this thought well. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go, wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth, joy of heaven. Amen.